I'm Alison Smith, and welcome to my Landscaping Your Life podcast, where I help you to get back on track when you don't know what to do. In this series, I'm going to be exploring the language that you use when you're stuck and use it as a hint to find solutions. So when you can't see the wood for the trees, you're going to go out into a wood and see what insight that wood may have that you can then apply to your situation. When I'm stuck in a rut, I'm going to go and stand in a rut. If I'm treading water, yes, you've guessed it. I'm going to go and tread water in the sea and share with you the insight that you can then apply to your current situation. The best way of using metaphor to solve problems is to not try and keep going between the metaphor and the problem. It's not about going, here's my problem. Oh, Alison's just said get a map. How do I apply the map to my situation? It's very much about putting the problem to the back of your mind and then fully diving into the metaphor. So diving into the wood that you can't see the trees for, exploring the wood, noticing the, even walking up some paths, joining with me as we think about cutting some of those trees back or climbing a tree, for instance. You're going to get much more from it the more distance you can have from the problem. It's much easier to then later on think about how to apply all that lovely metaphorical solutions and how to apply it to the real life situation. Today's episode goes back to landscaping your life's roots, really, in terms of in 2018, I wrote Can't See the Wood for the Trees. But what that did was go back to the early 2000s. When I first started using nature as a landscape for our lives. And the book Can't See the Wood for the Trees, whilst it also shares a number of the other idioms that I share throughout all these episodes, obviously it's called Can't See the Wood for the Trees. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. We're going to be revisiting a wood with trees to actually look for different perspectives and different solutions from which to help us see the wood for the trees. I've taken many a client out into a wood. I can remember one particular one where there was six suited business people in the wood, and we were obviously looking a little lost and exploring to try and see the wood for the trees. And a park ranger walked past and, seeing our confusion, said, "Oh, do you need a map?" So, of course, one of the first solutions might be, when you can't see the wood for the trees, is what's the map? Where's your map? Do you need to plot a map? Do you need to understand the environs around you to understand where you are, where you're trying to get to, and the paths that are going to get you there? One of the things about Can't See the Wood for the Trees, and I've said this for every episode, is that I highly recommend that you go and find a wood to represent the situation that you can't see for the trees, in order for you to get insight that's personal to you in this moment from that wood. What I'm trying not to do in this second series of podcasts is use old information that I've had before. That's why I'm going out into the landscape and noticing what I notice in the landscape today that I can share with you, rather than saying, well, 5 years ago or last week somebody said this. So highly recommend that you go out and find a wood to explore and get insight from, should you not be able to see the wood for the trees in a situation. The other thing that actually can't not seeing the wood for the trees works very well with as well is drawing the wood. It's much easier to be able to, or even imagining the wood. So I can remember Jen ringing me one time and me asking her, so which of the sayings best reflects or represents the current situation? And she said, oh, definitely can't see the wood for the trees. And obviously she was at one end of the phone, I was at the other, so we weren't in a real wood. And so I said to her, as you imagine those trees, what sort of trees are they? And in her explanation, I said, oh, hang on a minute. It sounds like there are an awful lot of trees. Oh, yeah, there are. Well, when the saying isn't can't see the forest for the trees, because you can't see the forest for the trees because there's so many of them. And in saying that, she said, oh, the trees have changed to beech trees. And her internal representation shifted immediately, that she changed her internal imagining of that wood and those trees to a different sort of tree. Now, you can't do that if you go and visit, you know, I'm not going to be suggesting that in the recording that comes next, because I'm in a real wood. So I'm restricted by some of the things that I can do. Whereas in your imagination, the wood of your imagination, or the wood that you're going to draw, then, or the trees that you want to draw, then you can imagine climbing a tree or cutting some of those trees back, or even tracking through the year and actually moving from, I don't know, whether it's summer to winter, in order to be able to have less leaves around. So there's lots of different ways that you can relate to the saying. You can draw it, you can imagine it, or as I'm just about to do, you can go out into nature and just notice the patterns in nature that provide insight about the situation. So highly recommend thinking of a situation that you'd like some more clarity about, that you can easily say that you feel like you can't see the wood for the trees about, and then just notice what you notice as you listen to my insights and on observing as I go on a trip. Having written a book called Can't See the Wood for the Trees, and having explored the metaphor with many coaching client or workshop group about can't see the wood for the trees. Such a great example. I've got lots of ideas in my head about what normally works if you can't see the wood for the trees. And yet the whole theme of the podcasts in this series, or the episodes in this series, are about noticing what I notice in this wood today, now. And I found myself saying to somebody the other week that it never fails to amaze me how somebody who can't see the wood for the trees finds new insight from being out in nature that I've never heard before. That even in 20 years of doing it with people, in the 3 years since my book, in the podcasts, everybody comes at the situation from with their own problem, that they can't see the wood for the trees, and therefore the patterns are different for them, and therefore they notice different patterns. Today, and therefore it's with what's ever going on in my life at this moment in time, I'm drawn to the fact that I'm trying to see, if you look that way. So for the podcast, then it just looks like there's trees that go on and on and on, and I, you know. But actually, there's an element of, if I look that way, it's really easy to get lost and confused, and, well, I don't know, what tree do I focus on? That tree, do I focus on that tree, which tree do I focus on, how big is it, will I get lost if I go in that direction, will I get more lost if I go in that direction? So there is something about, yeah, I suppose not blundering on, really, that it'd be really easy for me to buy into this lostness and then just keep focusing on lost, rather than, it reminds me of the stuck between a rock and a hard place, that as I sat there at the top of a cliff, that the longer I sat there and the more in the moment I became, I stopped focusing on all the, you know, as I think I described it as 355 degrees of stuckness. And I noticed the, however many, 5 degrees, 4 degrees, however many, but I managed to notice the areas that would be unstuck, the roots out. And I think that's the same as I stand here, imagining needing to see the wood for the trees. That rather than walk on, rather than continue to potentially get lost or to go in a direction I don't want to go, what happens if I just stand here, if I tune in? And again, there's something really quite powerful. Oh yes, I've just really quite powerful. It's one of those things where it's so easily said, look at it from all perspectives. And yet, as I stand here, I'll encourage clients and people to do that often, but as I stand here now, I can feel the sense of, it'd be really easy
to go, yeah, yeah, no, I've just looked around. But now, hang on a minute, stop. I now want to notice every one of the 360 degrees because they're the number of options. It's not the options I have, because the options, if I follow a path, are going forward or going backwards or turning around and going the other way. But in terms of where might I get an answer, where might the solution lie, where may the different insight lie, then I need to look at, visually observe every one of the 1 degrees. And therefore I'm slowly turning through that 360 degree view that I have. Now, by going slower, by attending my focus on, okay, this degree, you know, this 5 degrees, 10 degrees, however much I can see in any one view, is that I can, there's a hole through these trees. In fact, for those of you on the video blog, you could sort of see. But there's sort of 2 trees, and then there's a fence beyond it, and then there's a field beyond it, and then there's, and I can see more trees, and then houses, and then I can see the fourth, the river, and then beyond that, I can see the 4th rail bridge, and although I can't see it currently, the two road bridges that get over the river. So that's something I've observed. I'll put that to the back of my mind. That might be something that serves a purpose, or it may not. So as I continue to move through the 360 degrees of landscape in front of me, right in front of me, because I'm recording this in late April, and there's some ferns that have not yet unfurled. So there's still a bit of last year's fern that's brown and died. And then through that is all of these unfurling ferns that have not yet furled, if that is such a word. And so I wonder, as I look at these unfurling ferns, whether again there's something about patience, about timing, about that it's the journey at the moment, that whilst I'm unfurling, perhaps there's not much to do, that I just need to keep putting one step in front of another, or sitting here and breathing and just taking one day at a time, rather than trying to make some plans because that unfurling is taking place, having just come out of having COVID for the last 3 weeks until I started to feel a bit normal. Then it feels like this is, if it was suggesting to me, that it's inviting me to just continue that journey to well-being, continuing that, giving myself a bit more time and patience, continuing to feed it nurturing foods, to not fill the diary with lots of things, to not rush out. Now, what that's also reminded me is, although I observed the river and the bridges, it didn't feel like that was the thing that I needed to pay attention to and didn't have lots of insight to share. Because it feels as if, yes, that was useful insight, a useful pattern to observe, but not the first thing I needed to notice. It's as if these unfurling ferns were the first thing to notice. And then I continue round, right in front of me, it's quite a steep path. And so there's a barrier. So I don't know if that's to stop people zooming down on bikes. So there's something, there's something here. So I've just walked up to that barrier. I don't know. Where my head's gone is the fact that how often do we put barriers in our way, really? It's like there is, I'm sure, for some people, sense to them having this barrier here. But for the way I'm using it, then this barrier is superfluous to requirements and yet potentially could stop me making progress. So again, that might be inviting me to think about what barriers am I putting in the way for me being able to see the wood for the trees? How am I trying to see the wood for the trees? If I go back to the ferns earlier, how is me seeing the wood for the trees just about me having patience initially? I'm going to continue looking around the 360 degrees. I quite like this. And the other thing is about this 360 degrees suggestion is I suspect that's true for any and every landscape in any situation where we're stuck. So if you're stuck in a rut, if you're up a creek without a paddle, if you're going round in circles, what happens if you stay stationary and just continue to look all through the 360 degrees. So interestingly, what I'm now seeing, so I'm sort of now heading back towards looking the direction I was right at the beginning, is that I can see through the trees a road, and you may actually be in the background, be able to hear the cars on the road. And so that gives me potentially another route out in terms of, well, let's make it to the road, let's see where that takes me, let's follow the road, let me get somewhere at the other end of the road, and then I'll know where I am. Because sometimes we can't see the wood for the trees because we don't know where we are, and therefore that road may very well take me there. But what I'm now getting a sense of, having got all of the insights so far, is it's not about the bridge for me, and this is one of those wonderful examples of, we take our current situation with us on these walks, and therefore somebody else may see a pattern and start telling you, it's all about you need to climb that tree to see it, or you need to cut some of these branches down. It just doesn't resonate. And so if I came on any other day and did this walk, there's a chance that I would, that river through seeing the river through the branches would mean something completely different. But today, with whatever's going on in my life at this moment in time, it's as if it's not about building bridges with other people, it's just getting to the other side of the bridge. It's about leaving this side. It's as if my physical body hasn't caught up with where my brain wants to be. My brain is already the other side of the bridge, having new adventures, thinking about new adventures, making new plans, coming up with this 12-day program, and yet physically I'm here and I'm worrying about this wood and wondering about how I see it for the trees. And yet it's not about that. It's about getting out of the wood, getting to that bridge, getting over the bridge, and stepping into a completely new landscape. So that's interesting in that I'm not convinced ever when I've been talking to somebody have I suggested that the answer is to not reflect if they can't see the wood for the trees, the woods and the trees and the rut. Whereas actually this is suggesting if you are stuck in a rut, then what might the antidote landscape be, and go and stand in that landscape. Stand in a open field, perhaps, if you're stuck in a rut. If you can't see the wood for the trees, go and stand at the top of a hill looking down on a wood. And to just notice what you notice, having already stepped beyond your stuckness, beyond that idiom that you're using to describe your current state. What happens if you go and find a landscape that's the antidote already? Let's not worry about the current situation. Now, I'm not saying that that's what I'd suggest every time, but that's certainly something that's coming to mind to me today in this current situation. Lovely. It's a bit noisy out there, so I'm in the car at the moment, but I'm looking out across a field, and I can see the other side of the field, there's a hill, and the hill has got a wood on it. And the wood sort of goes quite a way, really. It goes all the way along the side of the hill. And it does beg the question that I often ask about, are we trying to see a forest for can't see the wood for the trees is perhaps more doable to see the wood than it would be for to see try and see a forest, because a forest is far too big. And I do wonder, even as I look at this wood here, that there's lots of trees, but I don't know how many different woods there are. That am I sometimes trying to, I don't know, see multiple woods at a time rather than go, you know what, I'm going to focus on one wood. And that's the wood in front of me, or that's the wood at the top of the hill. Because it does feel as if there are spaces in between all of these trees that would suggest that perhaps this, there's a wood here at the bottom of the hill, and then there's another wood at the top of the hill. The other thing that I'm also aware of, and which is a new insight for me, is that what are you trying to see the wood? What characteristics of the wood are you trying to see? In terms, is it the size of the wood? Is it the shape of the wood? Is it the number of trees in the wood? What is it about the wood that we're trying to see? Because as I look across at the wood in front of me, I realise that what I'm taken with is the different types of tree. There'll be oak trees there and chestnuts, I suspect, and other trees there, perhaps even some pine trees. And so as I think about that, I'm not trying to look at each individual tree. I'm just trying to get a sense of, well, there's those trees that look the same, certainly at the moment with sort of spring. So it's really easy to see the different colours, the different shapes of tree. So I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, perhaps 6 or 7 different types of tree. And is that just enough for me to get a sense that the wood that I'm within has got 5 or 6 different types of tree, rather than to be wanting to know how many of every single tree there are and where they're all located? Is that over the top? Do I really need to plot the wood and have a map of the wood and to know where every tree is and the age of those trees? Or is it just enough to know, you know what, there's going to be these sorts of 5 sorts of things I'm going to be facing in this wood, and this is how I deal with this type of tree, and this is how I deal with this type of tree? And perhaps that reduces the overwhelm when we realise that it's just 6 different types of tree rather than trying to deal with every one of them.
As I said at the beginning, I'm going out into the landscapes and noticing what I notice, and therefore there are things that I notice this time that I've never noticed before, even though I've done this for 20 years. I see, clients see, you may see things that I've never heard from anybody before. And the thing that struck me this time was that 360 degrees, the fact that how often do we think we've looked in every direction? That I can't see the wood for the trees, and yet what we've done is got caught up in that panic, in that overwhelm, without stopping. And I think, as I say, it's similar to what happened when it was between a rock and a hard place. It's that stopping, looking round every one of those degrees and really looking for roots out information to enable you to understand how you might be able to see the wood for the trees. If you've enjoyed this episode of Landscaping Your Life, then do follow my podcast, and also have a look in comments below for other ways of keeping in touch with us.